Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags!
Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, breaking it down as we kick into Twisted Tuesday. Has begun full house style tonight. We are jam-packed, all right? Steve Merrill's going to kick with us. We got Andrew McKinnis kicking it with us. We got Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible stepping up and in. We've got more NFL talk with Brent Sobleski from the Bleacher Report as well. We've got a lot of baseball talk, a dramatic day and night on the diamond tonight. Let's start off in Los Angeles at Chavez Ravine as the Los Angeles Dodgers were down 5-2. The Los Angeles Dodgers entered 0-81 when trailing by three or more runs in the eighth inning or later in postseason history. And in fact, they'd never come back in postseason history when trailing by three or more from the seventh inning on. So the Los Angeles Dodgers, Cody Bellinger steps up with a three-run shot, and Mookie Betts gave the Dodgers the lead 6-5, and an amazing turn of events, actually, in this series. It really was just an incredible day at Dodger Stadium, an incredible day that our boy Matias was actually at. Everybody gets a Dodger win except me, evidently. But you know what? We'll take it. As the Los Angeles Dodgers were on the ropes, man. They were about to be down 3-0. But the Dodgers are not dead yet. I know so many of you want the Dodgers to lose. And, oh, look at Morenci. All your team's losing. Well, not so fast. Not so fast. And suddenly this series is 2-1. And the Dodgers are minus 200 for tomorrow's game. All right, they play tomorrow night. The Dodgers, Arias is starting for the Los Angeles Dodgers, TBD for Atlanta. I think it's going to be Yanoa, but whatever. It's like it's a bullpen game for these guys. There's going to be a million pitchers pitching for the Braves, and the Dodgers have an opportunity to tie the series, and then suddenly, hey. And I don't really know if it's fair, and I hope our boy Kyle in Atlanta is not tuning in right now. Well, I hope he is, actually, because it's all good. Nothing but love and respect, but I'm just saying, if you know what I'm saying. Teams from Atlanta have lost a lot, and they have had leads a lot, right? 28-3. Do I need to remind you about 28-3 and how 28-3 somehow came back and haunted and got the Atlanta Braves as well? So, you know, you look like, you know, they've had a lot of heartache. And don't forget, the Braves blew a 3-1 series lead to the Dodgers last year, right? So as it is right now, the series is a pick'em. The series is a pick'em. Before tonight, it was minus 200. The Braves were minus 200 before the game started today. All right, so now it's minus 108 on both sides. Oh, yeah, the NBA's back. Man, what a time of the year right now, huh? What a time of the year. Gee, I wonder who that dude was that was talking about the Milwaukee Bucks last night and saying, you know what, people are sleeping on the Bucks and the Bucks don't get any respect. And why are people hyping up Brooklyn? Oh, yeah, that was me. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's the Twisted Tuesday, and things are getting pretty freaking twisted right now. Major League Baseball. The Los Angeles Dodgers were on the ropes. Dodger haters were celebrating. The mariachi band was playing And the Atlanta Braves were all smiles in the dugout until Cody Bellinger went deep and hit a three-run shot. Los Angeles Dodgers, first time they ever erase a three-run deficit that late in their playoff history. And suddenly, the series is 2-1. Meanwhile, I know. I didn't know this either, actually. I didn't realize there was other series going on. I didn't know there were other teams playing baseball. I didn't know there were other teams in the league besides the Los Angeles Dodgers. But I guess, what are they called? The Houston Astro, something like that? Oh, yeah, that's right. Those guys. The garbage cans. The Houston Astros. Well, I tell you what, man. The Houston Astros were also on the ropes. Man, I got to tell you, whoever wins the World Series this year, they're going to have it. It's like E.F. Hutton. They earned it. You're going to have to earn this thing, man. All these teams, man, it really is. This is like a heavyweight. This is like that Wilder Fury fight. You know, this is like Gotti and Ward. Every time somebody connects, you know, and you think, oh, man, yeah. They're about to deliver the knockout punch. No. It's the other team. You know, the other team just starts throwing haymakers back. Every time, man, the San Francisco Giants had the Los Angeles Dodgers on the ropes. The Dodgers fought back. The Houston Astros, man, you're at Fenway. You're down somehow. All right, you know, what are we going to do? Well, how about we put seven up in the top of the ninth inning? Because that's exactly what the Houston Astros just did. They put seven runs up. The game, it was a tie game. Not anymore. And they were down 2-1, and Altuve tied it. All right, Altuve tied it. So as I stated, nobody's going down without a serious-ass fight. Great stuff. Great stuff. Major League Baseball playoffs been off the hook. We'll talk a lot about the baseball playoffs tonight, obviously. NBA is back. We cashed a ticket with the Milwaukee Bucks.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
We're also on the Los Angeles Lakers right now. And this game close, 89-87 as we speak for the Golden State Warriors. I don't know, Carmelo Anthony might manage to have a free throw violation. He double pumped the ball and didn't shoot the ball. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. The Late Night Anger Man's request. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
The Late Night Anger Management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. Well, we expected chaos and mayhem, and that's exactly what we've gotten as the Major League Baseball playoffs have delivered. The NBA regular season has tipped off. The NHL rolling into week one right now. NFL into week seven. College football, every game counts. Every week is critical. And, oh, yeah, college basketball is around the corner. We haven't fun yet. Lucky Steve Merrill steps up. But what's up, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun October. We talked about how loaded it was. You know, 5 weeks of football, baseball playoffs going a little deeper than normal. Now we got the NBA, and the Dodgers Braves are making it fun on their own.
Well, I tell you what, I had a heart attack during this baseball game, Steve. I was nervous all night. It was obviously an early game on the West Coast. And I thought of you, Steve, in which I kept hearing your voice. I have a weird feeling the Braves win this series. And I remember you saying that, and I sort of, it popped in my head a couple of times, and the Dodgers were up 2-0 early. They had the bases loaded. They didn't capitalize. It was only 2-0, and I was concerned, but it was a wild game. And let me tell you, Steve, so we were on live for Game Time Decisions, and so I know all the numbers, right? All the numbers. So let me tell you, 2-0 Dodgers early. All right, 2-0 Dodgers early. We're in the second inning, Steve. The L.A. Dodgers were -710, right? And I said out loud, oh, my God, it's only 2-0. It's only the second inning. I said I would fire whoever set this number. But it was 2-0 Dodgers. I'm a Dodger fan. I got money on the series. I got money, et cetera. So I did not pull the trigger. It was bothering me all game after, Steve, that I did not pull the trigger thinking, man, that was just a bad number. We didn't take advantage of it. Fast forward to the seventh inning. We look at the number. It's 5-2. And I say to Cam, I go, well, the Dodgers are +760 right now, Cam. He goes, I need more. I said, yeah, man, they got to be giving us 10-1 or 12-1 or something like that, man. More than +760. And then about 10 minutes later, the Dodgers tied the baseball game and then subsequently took the lead right after. But, Steve, what's amazing to me, and props to FanDuel, I've never seen this before, World Series odds were changing with the score. And so basically, the Dodgers, and I brought it up live as well. I said, oh, my God, look, the Dodgers are now 6-1 to win the World Series. The Braves are favorites at +135 right now. Wow. And I said, wow. And I said out loud, once again, it's all documented. I said, man, if the Dodgers lose tonight, I'm going to take them again at like +1,000 or 12-1 or whatever I can get. I said, this series isn't done. These numbers are whacked out. Well, currently the Dodgers are at +200 right now at FanDuel. And this thing's been bouncing around all over the place, Steve. What a wild day.
Yeah, and I mean, here's what's crazy is the Dodgers have been basically, what, 3 or 4-1 all season since April. So if you tied your money up for 6 or 7 months, you almost are getting the same return as right now at 2-1 in mid-October. Yeah, it's funny, Gabe. I was trying to pull up. You talk about my intuition, my gut feelings. I was trying to pull up the endgame odds as Bellinger was batting, and he hits the home run on the next pitch. And then they unlock it. FanDuel unlocks it, and it's -360 Dodgers right after when it's 5-5. It's just crazy. That freaked me out a little bit.
It really is, and it sounds cliche to say. It's tough to do, and I know you need a bankroll to do it. But I talked about this yesterday, Steve, on Game Time Decisions on the early show about the Boston Red Sox. I said, you know what? I like the Red Sox to win a game. I was talking about Game 3. I said, they're +380. They were the lowest odds out of all the teams to win the World Series. And I said, I'm not even telling you the Red Sox are going to win the World Series, but it's just out of principle. And I think, Steve, you know, you basically just grab whoever's basically the longest shot. I mean, look, the LA Dodgers were +600 today briefly, right? The Boston Red Sox were +380. And I'll tell you what, if the Dodgers win again tomorrow, then suddenly you're going to get a big price on the Braves. You really can get big plus money on every team.
Well, whether it's adjusted series price, because, I mean, basically, adjusted series prices are in-game bets, you know, in-series bets. It's the same thing with in-game wagering. You never want to play the team that's on the run. You never want to lay the double what the odds were before the game. You always want to find those buyback opportunities where the favorite Dodgers -180 are now 5 or 7-1. Like you said, you know, they're underdog in the series all of a sudden. And those are the situations you want to find, because the thing is, you don't have to be right even 50% of the time, even 30% of the time. If you're hitting 5 or 7-1, you know, payoffs,
exactly,
you can miss a lot. But what kills you is when you play that 7-1 favorite who has a 1 or 2 touchdown lead, because they do lose. And we see it more now in sports than ever. I mean, these teams are so balanced. Football especially. I mean, the NFL really don't turn these games on to like mid-fourth quarter. It's almost useless before that.
Well, I'll tell you what. The series price is interesting, too, because before the game this afternoon, the Atlanta Braves were -200 to win this series. The Dodgers were +168. And currently right now, it's listed as a pick 'em. -108 on both sides, Steve. And I'll tell you, the Dodgers are like -200 favorites for game 4 right now. With Urias back on the hill, -200. We got a total of 8.5. It's listed TBD right now at FanDuel. It's basically a bullpen game for the Atlanta Braves. That's why, listen, the series is on the line today. The Braves, you know, if the Braves won today, the series was over. The Dodgers win today, it doesn't mean the Dodgers are going to win this series. But I tell you, the pendulum has suddenly swung, man. You know, man, it was close to being 3-0, Steve.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, the Dodgers were also down 3-1 last year to the same Braves team. They had to win 3 straight, of course, 4 out of 5. Yeah. But that's a big difference in winning 4 straight. So, yeah, it was going to be over. But I'm telling you, when Bellinger was up, I was like, I feel like the Dodgers are going to win this game. And that's why I was trying to find the endgame line at that point. He hits a home run before I could even do it. It's the next pitch. So, you and I have watched enough baseball, I think, over the years to kind of have intuition sometimes.
Oh, you knew it was coming. He was either going to strike out or hit a home run, right? It was one of those. It really was one of those deals. But, Steve, like I said, so listen, the Dodgers are -200 tomorrow. And we talked about it a lot, guys, that the Atlanta Braves were 1-10 in their last 11 games at Dodger Stadium, at Chavez Ravine. They got swept in late August going into September. They were in every baseball game, but nevertheless, they got swept. And as you mentioned it, you know, it has to be in the back of their minds. The Braves blew the 3-1 lead last year, albeit on a neutral field, right? They were playing in Texas. But, you know, and Steve, I know it has nothing to do with the Atlanta Brave players, but the city of Atlanta have blown some leads before, Steve. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've been tortured, this fan base. The Georgia Bulldogs, listen, for all of our fans in Atlanta, you know I love you guys, and I'm a big fan of the city of Atlanta. I'm a big fan. You know, I got no beef with the Braves and stuff, but I'm pulling for your Georgia Bulldogs, as long as we know they don't play Michigan in the title game. But the Braves are another story, but I'm dead serious. Like, there's been a lot of heartbreak and disappointment with Atlanta sports teams over the years, Steve.
Well, and the thing is, you know, obviously this is correlated to what happened last year. The Braves wins games 1 and 2, and then, of course, the Dodgers came out and won game 3, but they won game 3 15-3, and then the Braves come back and win game 4 10-2. But I think it's a totally different situation because, if anything, the Dodgers maybe went into game 4 a little cocky, a little, you know, overconfident after the 15-3 win. You almost feel like this come-from-behind win is going to deflate the Braves. So I think it's a totally different setup here, and it's hard not to think the situation, at least, you know, favors the Dodgers, especially with a known starter on the mound. Buehler was just terrible tonight, too. He's definitely not been as good the last few months. I thought he would have a Class A game. Obviously, that's a concern going forward. If they get out of this series, or if they need him in a Game 7, I guess, would probably be when he would go next. But it's setting up well. They're going to get Scherzer and Buehler for two out of, you know, the last three games. Dodgers get this one tomorrow, they're definitely back in the driver's seat.
Yeah, but, you know, Steve, I always say this. Like, that, the starting pitching stuff's overrated because they all only go a couple innings anyways. The games are decided by the bullpens. They just are. Because even, you know what I mean? Like, because if you've got a good pitcher going, the other team has a good pitcher going too. So it just means you both have good pitchers going for the first five innings or whatever. And then it just is decided by the bullpen. Bullpens decide these playoff games, Steve. Point blank. I sincerely believe that. You know, you don't want your starting pitcher to get lit up, obviously. But it's always the bullpen. It's bullpen, bullpen, bullpen that decide these games in the postseason.
Yeah, and it's ironic that Reyes is going tomorrow because he basically was a bullpen pitcher in that game against the Giants, you know, at the end of last week. So now he's going back to the starter role. They went, what, two relievers and then brought him for like four innings. We'll see if the Braves can do it tomorrow. You know, the Braves obviously have to get it done with Morton and Fried. So not winning with Morton today, especially with a 5-2 lead, is a huge blow. I like the Dodgers at Pick'em. I mean, obviously it's a 50-50 series mathematically, but really feel like the momentum shifted tonight.
And don't forget, too, all the talk about Charlie Morton. Yeah, he was on the hill in 2017 when the Astros beat the Dodgers. He's also 37 years old right now. And that was 4 years ago. He's not, you know, and also the Dodgers lit him up last year when he was on the Rays. And
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, you know, listen, it's a pick 'em right now. I think it's better to play the Dodgers at a pick 'em to win the series than laying a minus 200 in the game, right? Because they win the game, then suddenly they're going to be favorites in the series. So as opposed to laying a minus 200 in the game. More with Steve Merrill on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am David Lorenzi. The pistol players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Lucky Steve Merrill from WagerTalk.com kicking it with us. Well, obviously, by now, you know about the dramatic Dodgers comeback. And how dramatic was it? It was actually the first time in Dodgers history that they came back in a playoff game from the seventh inning when they were trailing by three or more runs before. Cody Bellinger really has saved the best for last. So you already know about the Dodgers comeback win, but you might not know that the Dodgers are minus 200 favorites tomorrow night. The total is 8.5 right now. Urias listed as the starting pitcher for the Dodgers. The Atlanta Braves listed TBD, but we still have a number. Nevertheless, it's a bullpen game for the Braves. Steve Merrill kicking it with us. So, Steve, baseball's been off the hook, but it's time to get into the NBA. And, you know, we did all right tonight, although I'm kicking myself. So let's start off with the Milwaukee Bucks. And, of course, last year, you know, I didn't give up on the Milwaukee Bucks. And we made a lot of money with the Milwaukee Bucks winning the NBA championship. And I'll tell you what, Steve, the season started off pretty much the way that it ended, man. With the Bucks getting no respect, I didn't understand the number. I took the Bucks at that extremely short price, you know, on the money line at home tonight. And it was a wire-to-wire win. They beat down the Brooklyn Nets. I don't know what part of people don't understand. The Milwaukee Bucks are the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, they were the champs for a reason. They played excellent basketball last year. And, you know, there's always that theory that it's the, you know, celebration night and it could be a distraction, but that doesn't hold up. There's really been no advantage or disadvantage to playing on or against these teams. And, I mean, it's one of the shortest off seasons we've seen in the NBA. So it's not like these guys don't have a cohesiveness. And the fact that they played together for an extra couple months, I think, gives them an advantage over a lot of teams this year. So I see no reason why they can't be strong again. And I think they feel like there is a little bit of disrespect and they're underrated. I think they've got something to prove. And I actually noticed FanDuel, I believe, had odds on the most wins by a team. And I think Brooklyn and Milwaukee were the two favorites. So this was a Class A game, to say the least.
Yeah, you know, and every Brooklyn. I mean, Kyrie Irving's not there. That makes a big difference.
Right.
And to me, I look at Brooklyn, they're so top heavy, Steve, right? I mean, Kyrie's, it's a problem. Right. Like, never mind whether he wants to get vaxxed. He doesn't this and that. And I don't care. I don't want to talk about Dr. Fauci or anything about COVID. My point is, you have that much of your salary cap being taken by a player that's not playing. You're screwed, Steve. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that, bro. Like, you're giving this guy that much of your salary cap and he's not contributing. He's not playing. Therefore, suddenly you've got Kevin Durant. You've got James Harden. And a bunch of scrubs, essentially, bro, because they don't have any money.
Yeah, I mean, once again, you look at the cohesiveness of the Bucks. They got everyone playing together. A couple of them went over and played the Olympics right after the NBA Finals, and they've literally only been off like a month or two, you know, since all of that. And then, as you said, the Nets are not the same team because they don't have the big three. So you have a known quantity with the Bucks against a Brooklyn team that is shorthanded. It looks like they're going to probably be shorthanded all season. I don't know what you do. You probably have to trade Irving, I guess. I mean, I don't know how that works with the salary and whatnot.
He told the Nets, Steve, that he'll retire. Now, I can't confirm that, but I'm pretty sure it's true, though, because, you know, otherwise the trade probably already would have been in motion. But, yeah, supposedly he's told the league, yeah, don't bother trading me. I'll retire instead of getting traded. I think he thinks that he's just going to be able to wait this out, and they're going to lift the policy, you know what I mean, like midseason or so, as maybe COVID restrictions loosen up. But damn, you can't run a basketball team like that. I'll tell you that, Steve.
Well, and it's a huge distraction. I mean, whether he plays or not, it's a distraction, which is also a negative. So, yeah, I think the Nets are definitely an overvalued commodity right now.
So, talking about cohesiveness, that's the one thing we saw. Even remember, guys, the big three, when you go back to the Miami Heat, it took them a little while. You know what I mean? It takes teams a while. Basketball, it's not, you can't just sort of, you know, drop a bunch of guys on the floor and expect magic right away. But with that being stated, there's a lot of fresh faces and rejuvenated franchises, starting off with the Chicago Bulls. Bulls laying 5 overnight to the Detroit Pistons. Pistons rebuilding right now. They got the top pick, obviously, with Cade Cunningham. Chicago Bulls laying 5. One thing, Steve, and this is what I want to say, too. I never win when I bet unders in basketball, Merrill, ever. All right? It just, like, it's one of those deals that just really pisses me off. But I knew that the Bucks and the net game was going to go under the number. All right? So I'm like, yeah, this game's going to go under, but I always lose when I bet unders. And I did take the Bucks. But I'm like, you know what? That first quarter total is pretty high at 60. I said, man, that's a lot of points out of the gate. First game of the year, 60. Yeah, they got the 62, Steve. And then ultimate insult, the game stayed under the number. God, yeah. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, the Chicago game's interesting. There's a couple sports books around the world that had advanced lines back in August for these games, believe it or not. I mean, it's just insane to me. But the Bulls were a 2.5-point favorite on those. Everyone else opened them the last couple of days 3.5, and now it's 5. So definitely been some sharp money on Chicago. I don't think that's Joe Public betting back in August. I don't think it's Joe Public betting a couple of days ago. So the sharps are definitely like the Bulls against the Pistons. I think it makes a lot of sense.
One thing we'll note, I'm curious about the total in this game. It's 220, only because if you look at the Bulls players that they have, DeMar DeRozan is not a very good defender, right? Vucevic is not a good defender. Zach LaVine is not a good defender. Like, we'll go down the list. Like, they don't have, they won't play defense, but, we've got to see. So, what are you looking for? Are you looking for total? Are you looking for overs or unders? Like, are you going to kick back and wait and see how it plays out? What kind of trends are you looking for early in the NBA here?
I think you want to look for a cohesiveness. The Bucks put up 127 tonight. Obviously they soar over the team total, which is 117.5. Brooklyn was 116.5. They stay under 104, which we talked about Irving not being there. One of the three key players, some lack of cohesiveness. So I think when handicapping these games, it's a very limited preseason. It's been a very limited offseason, as we've talked about. I think teams that have some cohesiveness on that roster and have played together are going to get out of the gate fast. I think a young team like Detroit could struggle. I think that's also how you have to look at over-unders.
Steve, an interesting game. And speaking of cohesiveness, I like the Washington Wizards roster, okay? And, the total, their win total is 34.5 for the season. I think they're going to go over the number. You've got Bradley Beal, who's one of the better players in the NBA. You bring in Spencer Dinwiddie, who I'm a big fan of. I think he's a great player. I think they're going to be a great combination together. I think they'll mesh well. Rui Hachimura keeps on getting better. You bring in all the Laker players with Pope, with Kuzma. You get Harrell. I think the Wizards are going to be a good team. But as you stated, they didn't really have a lot of time to gel right now. And I love the angle, Steve. It worked for the Raiders. The Raiders didn't play with fans. And then they won their first preseason game of the year with fans. And then they won the season opener against Baltimore, the only game the Ravens lost. The Toronto Raptors didn't play a home game, Steve, for 585 days, okay? And, they played in the bubble. And then imagine that. Like, they won the championship. They never even defended the title at home or anything. They went into the bubble. They came out of the bubble, and they went back to Tampa. So they didn't play at home for 585 days. Their first preseason game back in Toronto, Steve, they beat the Sixers by, 25 or 28, 27, whatever. They smoked them. So this is where I'm going with this. Now this is their first regular season game back at home. It's been a long time. It's, and it's just sort of the angle by itself. You were talking about banner nights and stuff, but it's a big night. They're going to be fired up. It's going to be an electric night in Toronto. They're laying 2.5 to the Washington Wizards, Steve.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, are they going to make this the ring ceremony game from 2 years ago, or did they do that at the first preseason game already? Because it is an interesting setup, to say the least.
No. You know what? I was at the banner night. there was a banner night. Because remember, they started the next season, and they got shut down in March, right? So I'm saying, they never in the playoffs. They never played in the playoffs at home after.
That's true. I forgot we did have a half a season there. You're right. So they were at home. Yeah. But yeah, look, it gave the Blue Jays a bump, to say the least.
They
were a good offensive team. Yeah. So, no, the minute you said that, I was thinking, Raiders was a good analogy, but I was thinking Toronto.
Oh,
Blue
and
Jays
it's full capacity too, Steve. No COVID restrictions. Full capacity, 21,000.
And that's a strong home court too, as you know.
That's the
only NBA team in the entire country. I mean, they support the Raptors, as we all know. And I think that's an interesting angle. The look ahead line in August was 3.5. It's been 2.5 all this week. But like you said, the Wizards, they might be better at season's end than Toronto, but definitely some new pieces they got to mesh together. I think that situational handicap, that makes sense with Toronto.
What about the Phoenix Suns, Steve? They're laying 6 to the Denver Nuggets. What about the Super Bowl hangover curse, or what about the NBA final loser curse here? The NBA losing the NBA finals. I think the Suns could be a little bit overvalued right now.
Yeah, and also, Denver's a team that's been really good the last few years and just kind of found a way not to get farther in the playoffs, So I think they're a dangerous underdog. That line of 6 was a little surprising right now. Got to figure those teams are pretty evenly matched, That's a lot of points there in a neutral game, or what feels like a neutral game. And then, of course, you got Utah.
Yeah, you know what? I like the Utah Jazz a lot this year. And in fact, it's early, obviously, but when we can look back and gloat, we'll say, hey, look, we said the Utah Jazz are going to win the Western Conference. I like the Utah Jazz over 52.5 wins this year. I think they're going to rack up the regular season wins. Steve Merrill, Wager Talk, kicking it with us. So, Steve, man, NBA's back, college basketball, a lot of research to do. NBA's not that bad because, like you said, it was a short turnaround. And, you know, we know the rosters. Yeah, there's been movement and stuff, but it's kind of easy to stay on top of. College basketball, man, there's like 338 teams with lines on their games, man. I better start digging in because that's around the corner.
Yeah, and keep in mind, though, the one edge we have as sports bettors, of course, you don't adhere to this. You think you have to play every game that has a line. I know that, Gabe. But the one edge we have is that you don't have to play every game, but the odds makers have to figure out a way to put numbers up on those mid-major college basketball teams.
That's a great point.
So you can definitely dig in there. By the way, it's going to be a crazy season. I mean, talk about fans being back. All the schools are going to have different policies. Last year, nobody had fans. I got off to a 17-4 start last year in college hoops at Wager Talk.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.com.
So it worked for me. I'm looking forward to it this season. I think it's going to work again.
Steve Merrill, always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Gabe.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due! He's spinning the ball on his finger! Just take it! Take the ball! That game was fixed. We were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah. Let's roll. Love that riff.
You know what? It sounds so smooth and cool now. We actually filmed. There's video of me doing this solo in the studio. And it was anything but smooth. It was anything but smooth. Like, my bandmates are such jerks. I'm doing the solo and stuff. And then after, it's like, oh, you could do better. Do something better than that. You could do something better. I did. I think it took me like 2 hours, man. Like that little blurb. All that. I made it up on the spot though, pretty much, right? So it's pretty epic. Most records are like that though. It's always torturous actually doing it. But I remember I did it like I must have done it like 20 times. like I did it over and over and over and over and over. And I kept on saying after, I could do it better. I'll do a better one this time. I could do it better. And I remember finally the producer checked in and he goes, listen, they're getting worse. he goes, each one's getting worse. And I was like, no, I'll do better. And it was funny because I heard an interview with the, it was Bo Hill. He produced Rat's record. And he said the same thing. And I'm not comparing myself to Warren DeMartini, but it is a guitarist thing, in which he said Warren DeMartini once spent like 6 hours on one solo. And he said that it was progressively getting worse. He goes, every time he did it, it got worse, right? Like he thought it was getting better in his head, but it wasn't. And like, and he goes, I told him it's getting worse. And he basically wanted to shoot me. that's the thing. I'm telling you right now, we're not filming the recording of the new record. There will be no cameras allowed. No cameras allowed. We did that record at Metalworks Studios. And Metalworks have had big bands there. Like Guns N' Roses did, they did Use Your Illusion record there. And like we were really fighting with each other, me and our bandmates. Like I nearly walked out, I nearly left. And it was pretty hostile. And like it was really like over the top. And I remember I said to the producer, I said, I apologize. And I said, you know, we're kind of, I know it's unprofessional behavior of us. He goes, Guns N' Roses started throwing punches in the same spot you guys were just fighting. And he basically said, every band here has gotten into a fight, right? And it just is. So, yeah, Matthias, like, if you think, like, you know what I'm like with sounds? What's that sound? Imagine me in a music studio and with other, like, people. And, like, really little details. Like, we start fighting about, what the hell is that cymbal sound? What's that hiss? Like, and when you're recording, too, all basically you're told is that you suck and you're terrible. You suck. What you like is wrong. Your sound is wrong. Like, basically, like, I started playing, buddy came in, he goes, yeah, we need to change this, 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 and this, and this. And I'm like, no, I don't want to change this, but, yeah, it's a real fun experience, but it's a hell of a solo. Hell of a solo. 121-114, final score. Golden State Warriors. 121-114. So the Lakers didn't win a preseason game. Now they lose the season opener. 121-114. You know, we talked about the Lakers season win total at 52.5, and it's just too high. It's just too high. But I'm not going to be one of these jackasses to judge a team after one game. It's going to take the Lakers a while to gel and get used to each other. But at the same point in time, they're not a young basketball team. You know, the odds are whacked. You know, we told you last night when we talked NBA basketball with Pete Yiannopoulos, the Milwaukee Bucks are to play. The Bucks. Like, the Brooklyn Nets are the favorites. Dude, James Harden ain't going to stay healthy. Him and Durant, one of them are going to get hurt, and then there's only one of them. You know who the rest of the Brooklyn Net team is? I mean, dude, they were trying to come back tonight. They had Blake Griffin shooting threes, man. That's what happens. You want to have three megastars that all make a ton of money, well, you're not going to have any money to sign anybody else after. Like, that's, you know, that's the Nets deal. The Lakers are too old. They ain't winning anything. I've never really seen such a clear NBA future picture here to me. Like, I don't even know why we're playing the season. See, I mean, Utah Jazz versus the Milwaukee Bucks. There's your final. And when Steve Merrill brought up the Utah Jazz, I didn't just cut him off after we lost Merrill for a minute there. Matthias did some great patchwork there, but we lost Merrill for a second. Sure, people. I do cut people off at times, but I didn't there, and I wasn't deliberate. I wanted to bring that up. So, speaking of Matthias, I'm envious and jealous that you were at the baseball game today. And, you know, I got to say, like, Dodger fans get, like, a bad rap about how, oh, they get there in the third inning and they leave early and stuff like that. People are idiots and they don't realize, bro, it takes 2 hours to get there. All right? Like I said, I'm not some half-assed fan. I left at 4:30. I got there at 6:10 or 4:45. I got there at 6:10. Right? Even Jeff Francoeur brought it up on a broadcast today because they said that, oh, the Lakers are playing after. And he said, yeah, it's 3 miles, but he goes, it'll take you an hour and a half to get there after the game. Like, even, like, the TV crew are taking shots at the traffic now. It's, L.A. traffic is a bitch. It just is. So, I'm sure it took you hours to get in and out of there, but I'm sure it was also one of the best sporting events you've ever been to. It doesn't get more electric than that home run. Amazing. I wish I was there, but we were live on the air at the time. It is what it is, but what a moment in Dodger history there. And you were there.
Gabe, you know, when I heard the interview with Merrill, and you said right there that that was the first time in the history of the Dodgers that they come back late in a game in a playoff game, I was just like, wow, if everybody just knew, you know, the anxiety that was in that stadium, you know, just four innings before then, when, you know, when the Braves took the lead, everybody was waiting to explode, and, you know, nothing happened. And especially towards the end of the seventh, where nothing happened, and all of a sudden everything just happens in the eighth inning. People were ready to just explode. I'm happy that they got the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, it was quite a moment. Quite a moment. And let's be real. There was sheer depression in the stands.
Like, absolutely.
There was sheer depression. As the game was going on, like, you know, they were pretty good. They were pretty good. But there were a couple of times, you know, where it was just like, yeah, this isn't happening. It was just sort of that's this isn't happening. You know, like, the wheels really fell off, right? Like, Lux dropping the fly ball at the wall. It was like, you got to be kidding me. And listen, guys, there was a horrible missed call in the Boston Red Sox game tonight. And Red Sox fans are panicking, and I totally get why. I get it. But the same damn thing happened to the Dodgers today. The same thing. I don't know if you could tell. It's difficult, Matias, when you're in a stadium to tell balls and strikes. I was behind home plate, and I had a hard time telling. You know what I'm saying? You can sort of see, but
there was some crazy balls that were called strikes for the other team, for the Braves.
Well, there was also a strike that was called a ball for the Dodgers for Walker Buehler, and that was the turning point. And that was the turning point of the game. Walker Buehler was unable to he was unable to shake it off. Like, basically, it was against Jock Peterson. I like Jock Peterson, but God, he looks like an idiot with this stuff. It's like, really, what are you, Hulk Hogan? You look like Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Like, seriously. Like, all the Jock Peterson's missing now is, like, Zubaz Pence. All right? And he's got those glasses. He's got pearls on. He's got, like, the dyed blonde hair. It's not a good look. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I don't have hair, so I can't tell people what to do with their hair. But I am going to say he looks like an idiot. All right? That's all I'm going to say. That's all. If you see, you hear what I'm saying. I like Jock Peterson. I think he's a funny dude. I think he's a great baseball player. I'm a fan of his. He was a Dodger. But whatever. See, you got Peterson up there, and Peterson's in a freaking zone right now. And Buehler threw like a clear strike three. It was a clear strike three. And the thing is, they were squeezing Buehler all game. And Buehler's not a mouthy dude to begin with, but finally Buehler snapped and started mouthing off to the ump. And then subsequently, he doesn't get the call again. And then the next pitch, basically, was the pitch, next pitch, or the pitch after. I think it was the next pitch, literally. Boom, Peterson lines one in the right field. Right? Now, the same crap happened to Eovaldi tonight, in which he was about to strike him out, man. It should have been a strikeout, and then boom, next pitch, smashed. Right? You know, these umpires need to stop. Who was that? Laz Diaz tonight at Fenway. It was the exact same thing. And listen, I understand, you know, these games don't come down. The same thing with the San Francisco Giants. It didn't come down to that check swing. You know, and the thing is, if you're a batter and the pitch is that close and you don't swing, the umpire shouldn't be bailing your ass out. Like, basically, it's not as though the hitter says to himself, like, you know, you're not like Tony Gwynn, man. All right? If you're Rod Carew or Tony Gwynn, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But it's not like these hitters, or they can read the ball that well, that they're like, you know what? This looks like a strike, but it's actually just a millimeter outside, so I'm not going to swing because they're not going to call this a strike because I, you know. No. They got fooled on the pitch. They didn't swing on the pitch. And the umpire wants to play God for some reason. It's beyond ridiculous. They're affecting the outcomes of these games. I'm telling you, man. Buehler would have struck out Peterson, and then none of that stuff ever would have happened. And it was the same crap tonight in Boston. Eovaldi should have been a strikeout. And same thing, Eovaldi was rattled after. It's like, basically, what the hell do you want the pitcher to do? This isn't T-ball with little Timmy, all right? Tammy and Timmy, we're keeping score here, all right? This is for real. Jobs are on the line. Contracts are on the line. Legacies are on the line. And you got these jerk-off umpires, bunch of losers that should be insurance salesmen, affecting the outcome of these games. You know, I don't want robots. People are robots. There's enough effing robots in this stupid world as there is, all right? It's just stupid people.
Our mic
blew up.
Speaking of robots.
What the hell's going on here? All right, like, if you guys watching a video, did you see that, Matthias? I don't know. I'm starting to get all fired up and stuff, and then suddenly it just stopped. Like, if you saw me, and people are like, I'm hitting the mic. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I'm like, this mic's usually pretty reliable. Yeah, you see, stupid. That's the robots getting me. Technology. I don't want more. Do you guys want more technology in your life? I want less technology in my life. I want less technology, all right? I don't want robots. I just don't want jerks behind the home plate. Like, what is it? Why is it always old men, too? You know what? Yeah. Let's say it's Jerry West. He's 78. Let's let him up the wild card game. That'll be fun. Yeah, why don't we let Grandpa race in the Daytona 500, too?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network.
Now I've offended insurance salesman. We got a guy just said, "Hey, I'm an insurance salesman." No offense to insurance salesman. Listen, I got no beef with insurance salesman. Everybody needs insurance. All right, I suggest buy insurance from Chris Holland in our chat. You got a free plug. Give me your insurance number. I'll give the website for you. If you need insurance, buy it from Chris. No offense, but you shouldn't be an umpire either. I'm dead serious. Like, why is it that, like, all these umpires are so old and NFL referees? Like, in what world does it make sense? And I have nothing against old people, all right? I have nothing against old people. You know, seriously. Raquel Welch is, like, what, 80 years old? I'd have sex with her, all right? So I don't discriminate against old people. I put it out there. I will have sex with an old lady. But I don't want old people umpiring sports or reffing sports. I'll tell you right now, I know this for a fact. What age do men begin to lose their eyesight? It's like 40 years old. That's what it is. It's like 40 years old. Adult vision. 41 to 60 years old. Middle-aged will begin to notice slight changes in their vision. Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's see how old Laz Diaz is. I'm betting he's older than 41 years old. Laz Diaz, umpire. How old is this guy? He's only 58. All right. You're not the best example, but yeah. I guess. But you're just terrible, I guess. You're not blind. You're just terrible. But you know what I mean? Like, all these NFL referees and Major League Baseball, I don't want to hear it because they're experienced. I don't care. If you suck, you suck. You're experienced. Doesn't matter. You can be old and still suck at something. Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.